The Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Make Money Mondays, personal edition. Dr. Michael Moore. Have you ever actually filled in a prescription and dispensed medicine to a sick person?
I have, and I heard your little rant. Not a rant earlier, but it was
a slight jibe.
So I'm sorry to hear that you're a bit chesty. You know,
well,
we
I want
chat
to
about
be chesty.
I didn't bring my stethoscope, but you know.
Well, so are you still allowed to dispense medicine?
Yes, believe it or not. Friends and family love that little nuance. No, but still registered, still get my CPD points, you know, still.
So you just keep up?
I do keep up. Yeah.
But how did you go out of medicine into the world of entertainment and celebrity?
It was a big jump, but it got to a point where I was doing both. So I was at a trauma unit in Pretoria at one of the academic hospital, and Toppling had said, hey, come and work with us. I was doing a bit of both, a little bit of travel, and living the life, but just never coming home. until my dear Jackie said to me, look, Michael, I didn't marry someone like this, so either you choose one or the other, but you can't have both. And that's when I thought, well, let me stick with the media thing, because, you know, the degree I've got, and I can always fall back in medicine. I'll do this TV for another year or two, and, you know, then come back to seeing patients. And that was
20 years ago.
Not quite. It was a decade and a bit, yeah.
Yeah. And it served you well. It has served you well.
No, it has. It's been a wonderful platform, and I'm just pressing the flesh. I got to tell you, I had some of the best stories come out of that trauma unit, you know.
Are you allowed to tell those stories?
Yeah, no, there were some great stories.
Tell me your best story.
Well, my best story.
Trauma unit story.
There's only blood. I'm a terrible doctor. If there's no blood, I'm useless. You know, don't come with a rash or a cough or a chesty thing, you know.
Okay, fine. Knife, scalpel.
No, I think a great story. Bruce, a youngster walked in, little blue hole in his chest, literally had been shot by a bouncer, but walked into the unit, you know, sucking in air saying, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Turns out there was a cardiothoracic surgeon in the unit at that time, so, you know, God just smiled on this young kid. Put him down, scalpel through his ribs, put my hand into his chest, grabbed his heart, did a bit internal cardiac massage.
What a
while
hero.
The cardiothoracic surgeon kind of, you know, we talked about cracking his chest, opened his chest up, took the heart, took it out, and carried on massaging the heart while he literally stitched it up. And what had happened is there's a fibrous sac around your heart called the pericardium.
I've heard of that.
Well, there you go. And the bullet had actually gone through the heart, but the pericardium had closed around the wound and actually sealed off the bleed. So the heart bled into the pericardial sac and not out, which is why he could walk into the unit after being shot in the heart saying, help.
That's amazing.
Cool story.
It is a cool story. I did check his underpants. Well, I'm not sure if he's wearing underwear, but they're not on the outside of his trousers. Where did you grow up?
Pretoria.
Okay, so you grew up in Pretoria. Did you grow up with money?
We didn't. So we were a family.
Nobody, you know, just producers, that nobody ever grows up with money. Everyone's very poor when they come onto the scene.
Well, let me qualify that. So we didn't lack for anything. How's that, Bruce? But we weren't brand aware. You know, you could wake me up in the middle of the night and I'd hear this phrase, money doesn't grow on trees, Michael. You know, so went to a really good school. And I think.
When you say a really good school, elaborate.
One of the better schools in the area, a government school that
called
Watercloof Primary.
Okay, yes.
And then went to a school called the Glen High.
Right.
You know, in the area, for those of you know. And I think that probably the greatest gift my folks gave to me, and Father's Day has just come past, and I wrote a lovely little note to my dad saying, I had no idea, as I struggled to keep my kids in school and do everything else, you know, what you went through to put three kids through varsity. I mean, I got to get my degree debt-free with a little Mazda 323, hole in the bottom, but still a car, and got to start life that way, which is a phenomenal kickstart. So there was money.
But I'm teasing because everyone has a terribly hard upbringing. Yeah. Some people had a really hard upbringing, but and it's also interesting how we remember our childhoods in terms of what the conversations were around the dinner table. I mean, was money a dinner table conversation?
It wasn't. My father was rather clever in that he gave us.
What did he do, by the way, when he was working?
An industrial psychologist.
So he was analyzing you the whole time.
He was, man. He knew. He had this great sort of his big parenting thing was permission without approval. So, Michael, if you want to smoke, go ahead and smoke. You have my permission, but not my blessing. You know, that whole guilt thing.
Guilt.
So you're like, man.
That's good.
You know, if you tell me I can't, then I'm going to. But if you tell me I can, but you don't approve, I mean, that's just unfair.
Do you use that?
I do. Notice I whispered in case my sons are listening to this.
So, dad, industrial psychologist, mum?
Mom, stay at home, Mom.
Okay.
So we got to leave home with this wonderful confidence and the sense of I'm loved, you know, yeah. irrespective, which was great. But you asked about
money at the table.
Pocket yeah. money was kind of the way my dad introduced us to money. And that was, here's 25 Rand for the month. We'll pay for school and school necessities, sporting stuff, school clothes. But the rest is up to you. Haircuts, jerseys, clothes. The paddle ski that I blew my first 50 Rand on, or, you know, 75
Sorry,
Rand.
So you live
at the
in
time.
Pretoria and you bought a paddle ski.
Yeah, well, you know, we all do that. I grew up with surfing posters all over my room, you know. Yeah. Life is surfing, etc. So, and that was it. And that was my first introduction to, you know, my dad saying, listen, buddy.
How old were you when that monthly stipend came?
Probably around 11, 10, 11.
Okay.
That's when it all started. And so, he was great, and he stuck by it. He said, listen, beautiful paddle ski in the garage. But, you know, you're going to be cold this winter because you don't have a jersey, you know, and who's going to cut your hair, you know. So it was great. It was enough to buy what I, you know, get what I needed and maybe get a bit of what I wanted. But also I had to make some trade-offs, you know.
And you've got to try and find that balance, I suppose, between having kids have the options. There's an asset manager, and I was told this third hand, but he's a well-known fund manager who was at a well-known Cape Town restaurant, and his kids disappeared. And one of his colleagues came to him and said, how do you do this? How do you get your kids so heavily engaged in the toy shop near to where you are? He says, I give them just enough to give them hope, but not enough to actually buy anything that they really want.
Yes.
But then you've got to be so attuned with what's happening in the economy and actually understand what things cost as well.
Well, you know what we've done recently with my son? Josh is now sort of 16. He had access to my Uber account, which was great. I mean, he just had freedom to come and go as he chose. Mm-hmm. And then we changed that. So he's got his own bank account, his own own credit card. And suddenly he's responsible for his Uber drives. And all of a sudden
he's spending an awful lot of time at home.
Yeah, you know, and now he's
see so much more of him.
And we have a deal that he'll come to the end of the month and say, listen, you know, I needed to get here. You couldn't take me. So that's for your account. But the rest is kind of for his. And suddenly he's not using Uber as much because he feels the pain. And I think that's important. You know, if money's just comes and goes, you never get to respect it and appreciate it.
But it's about learning those budgeting skills, and you were lucky at the age of 12 to be learning those skills and True. Making mistakes, and the paddle ski was probably not your greatest investment.
No.
Did you ever get
it? It was a Black Widow paddle ski, if you remember. I mean, it was
no.
Okay.
But was that a good paddle ski?
It was a great paddle ski.
But where did you get to use the paddle ski? On down the Yuxgay during a flood, possibly.
Well, we had a quarry in Pretoria, and we used to kind of get onto the quarry and paddle around. And you're right, after two or three Saturdays, you'd be like, wow, you know, this is a...
And you couldn't find anybody in Pretoria to buy it from you. The guy who sold it to you must have been laughing.
No, he was. Well, I think, you know, come to think of it. No, you're right, it was a second-hand purchase, you know, before Gumtree's days.
Yeah, all of those. No, okay, so money wasn't ever necessarily discussed, but there were money lessons in the household. And so many people grow up without money lessons. And also there's the fallback of dad who understands money and understands human nature, which is also useful too.
Sure, absolutely. And I've done it with my kids too. I mean, I've given them pocket money, same thing, enough to kind of get by. They must pay for everything else, you know, gifts for friends, haircuts, that sort of thing. But part of that pocket money also, there's an amount that comes off that's a giving amount. So, you know, Josh, Rachie, part of what you're going to give, 10%, we're going to give to an organization or a charity or something, you know. Your phone comes off that. There's a little bit of savings that comes off that as well. So we have a share investment account, and part of that comes into the investment as well. So they get pocket money, but it's already broken down into, you know.
Do you let them choose the percentages? Do you make a rule around that?
So there's no rule. There was a recommendation. So...
You have my permission, but you don't have my approval for your 3% contribution.
Oh, he's throwing it back at me. Yes,
you don't have the don't have my approval about your 3% contribution.
Well, you know what? It's more than that, actually. And in my own life, I've tried to apply this whole 70-10-10-10. So I live on 70%, give 10 away, invest 10, and save 10. So what I've done with the kids is you can live on 80. And save and invest is kind of one 10% and gives the other 10%.
Okay. And when you say give, is it giving at arm's length, or do you say give and participate? I mean,
So where would you like to give this? So Josh, for example, gives to a project called the 9 Miles Project, a surfing project where there's, you know, underprivileged kids in the community get to go surfing, get on these surfing trips, get taught to surf.
Cool.
And that's where his passion is. He's a mad surfer, so that's where he invests.
Well, with Sean Thompson, we had him and as a guest recently, and he was telling us how surfing changes lives.
It does.
And you look at projects where young kids are taught to surf, and suddenly it's a distraction. It's a life skill that breeds all kinds of new behaviors.
Which is to be able to contribute to that, I think, is great for a kid.
Cool.
You know?
And again, it's something that he can really care about.
Absolutely. And get involved in. So he can go and coach. He can be part of that.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That really is good. What was your first paying job?
First paying job was a waiter at a Chinese restaurant.
I would have chosen Chinese immediately. I look at you and I go, yeah, Chinese.
Yes. The Ming Wu, in fact, it was. R2.30 an hour.
Yes. Oh, you were paid
wage.
Well.
Yeah. And in fact, there was a job that followed that was possibly really helped me in my top billing days later on. I was a sales clerk, or what do you call them, salespeople at
salesperson.
Edgar's. Salesperson at Edgar's.
I had to buy my clothes,
men's clothes. So
men's clothes.
But I do remember after my first week of working there, my first week's wage, I mean, that was big money back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to get to work on a little 50cc, and I parked in the wrong place, and I got out on Friday, you know, spend my cash with a fine that pretty much took up my entire week's wage. It was horrible, you know. But, you know.
It's attention to detail, which is so important. Dr. Michael Moll is my guest this evening. We can call him Doctor because he's still allowed to write prescriptions. He's the head of a business called Hello Doctor. He is a person who's involved in many aspects of media and somebody who can pump a heart with his bare hands. Phew.
The Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
Michael Moll is my guest this evening. We're talking to him all about money and what influenced him on money. What was your first investment? When did you sort of make enough money to start making investments?
Probably when Top Billing came on board and I realized I was earning two incomes. So I thought I need to start investing. My first investment was with LeaderGuard Spot Forex. Bad decision. Got my
LeaderGuard
dad involved.
Spot Forex. I see lots of problems.
Yeah,
tell me all about it.
Went belly up. And, I mean, after a year of just can't believe these returns, it was all paper money, and then it just disappeared in a plume of smoke. Still gone. And my father, ever since then, has never taken investment advice from me and never will.
Which proves that, you know, everyone's allowed to make one mistake once.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't have to make the same mistake twice. What were you – it was the days before Facebook. Because nowadays these guys advertise on Facebook and they advertise on social media. And people – the most questions I get are from these Facebook campaigns from faceless, surprisingly enough, entities that are located all over the world that are there just to fleece you.
Now, this is back when it was a family friend and saying, listen, Mike, I'm investing. This is a good investment. Look at this. And he's still a friend. You know, I mean, we understand you can't kind of.
Did he lose money too?
He did. And he went through a rough patch, you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because he would have taken other friends with him too.
He would have.
And so that was a good money lesson for you. What did you draw the lesson? Don't take advice from friends or don't do Forex or what was it?
I think the advice was common advice. If it's too good to be true, it isn't true. Mm-hmm. And it really was. I mean, the returns are just phenomenal. You know, I was thinking of putting more and more.
But that's what gets you sucked in.
But this is it. And thankfully, he didn't. I mean, the lesson in. I think
how much did you put in?
A $250,000 back then. That really hurt. My dad matched that. So,
What year was this?
Wow, we're talking
20 years ago.
2004. It was about 2004.
Okay, 2004. If you bought a Naspers share in 2000, if you put that money into Naspers shares, Cecile, what was the share price of Naspers in 2004? It was probably definitely
the brutal business quiz. Is the question.
It was under $50. I'm willing to bet it was under $50.
Oh.
For R250,000, you could have got yourself a whole bunch.
Yeah, no, you could have, and that was. Yeah,
you'd
anyway,
be retired right now.
Just stop.
You could be on holiday in Bali rather than here. No, but they're good lessons.
They're very good lessons. And, you know, it's the whole gambling scenario that, you know, if you're not sure, you know, just closing your eyes, taking a big leap of faith and sort of saying, just take a chance. You can't do that.
Have you ever gambled?
Rands and cents. So nothing significant. No.
But have you got over the thrill then? And because also it's thrilling to watch the value of your investment, real or otherwise, going up all the time, and that's the temptation.
Absolutely. And I think having my fingers burned was probably the best thing that could have ever happened. So school fees, and in retrospect, a lot of money, but a great lesson learned and never to be repeated.
I hope not. since then. Since then, how have you embarked on this investment journey?
I'm speaking to the guru of financial advice, so I'm
I don't do financial advice, just news.
Just news. All right.
An opinion. Just reflect no advice. On,
yes. Well, what I've done is probably not the best financial approach. I've been married for 23 years now. In that time, we've bought and sold probably 5 or 6 homes. So I've spent most of my hard-earned cash on transfer duty.
No, but that's the best bit of advice I've ever had comes from Rudolf Buerta, the economist, and it came too late, unfortunately. And he made the when you are young and you get married, said Rudolf Buerta. He said what he told his children was get the best house you possibly can, stretch when you're young, and then stay there.
Yeah,
renovate, change, add on, upgrade, develop,
absolutely.
Yeah. But don't churn houses.
Yeah,
the amount of money people pay in transfer duties is despicable. I mean, it's good for the fiscus, and it's wonderful. But that's all it's good for.
You're so right. Well, there you go. That's my life story. So what I've done is really taken every last cent I have and just poured into to paying off that home loan.
Okay. I think it's pretty solid. And I think for most people, their money, most of their value sits in the roof over their heads.
As does ours. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so do you have a retirement annuity, or does Michael Moll never intend retiring? You found the elixir of youth.
No. I candled my retirement annuities a couple of years ago. And then recently, with the acquisition of Hello Doctor by a bigger insurance company, got some good financial advice, was on a roadshow, hosting some fantastic discussions and presentations. And I suddenly realized I probably better get my stuff in order. They talked about a financially well person is someone that has a budget, has a financial plan, has an advisor.
And so you got
and regular reviews.
So
I thought I got a tick, 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 tick.
You got your thesaurus out. What are those things?
Exactly. And I applied those, got myself a financial advisor again, and I now have a pension plan, at least, not a retirement annuity, but, you know.
No, but again, one gets to a certain age, doesn't one? Mm. And one starts to look at one's children and think, where did they come from and why are they getting so big?
That's right.
Yeah. Time is passing.
Why do they need so much? You know,
why do they need so much and want so much?
Yeah.
Are you financially disciplined now?
Yes.
Do you waste money?
No. I think my wife might disagree. We have a take-a-lot van that pops up outside our house every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I often get told, you're our best customer, Dr. Moll, which is probably not something I want to hear. And I'm a sucker for sales. But aside from that, the little skeleton in the closet, really have taken time to know where we stand financially. So we know where we are. We know what we owe. We know what we're getting in. We know what we spend. And I think that's
probably doesn't what you spend scare the living daylights out of you when you add up things like school fees, when you add up things like medical aids, when you add up things like insurances, because you can't own a property without having it insured and the stuff in it insured and the stuff that you move around with
it's
insured and your life insured because you don't want to be worth too much debt, but still you don't want to leave your family high and dry.
We just looked at groceries the other month. We were kind of special focus on that. You cannot believe what a family of five spends on groceries, and for me it's always been we want to live with breathing room. So these are our expenses, and this is what we earn. Let there just be a breathing room, a gap between that. The last thing I want to is whatever comes in goes out, And so we've tried to create a bit of breathing room, and I think we have. And therein lies that whole live within your means, live on 70% of potentially what you're earning. And I think that's where the financial discipline comes in.
Have your finances ever got to a stage where you didn't make the contribution, the charitable contribution, where you've gone, oh my goodness me, it's actually that bad that we can't do? Because I think that's very much part of who you are, is to make that to make those contributions.
It hasn't, and I'll tell you why. The very first thing I do when that paycheck comes in is I take 10% and I give that away. And the reason I do that is not because, for any noble reason. It really is to say I don't want money to master me. So it's my way of kind of, I swear, it sounds silly to say, giving the middle finger to money and saying, you're not my master. You don't mean that much to me. I'm giving you away. I'm cognizant too that money is time and time away from family. So it's not just willy-nilly giving. It's very structured giving. We know who we give to. There's a number of organizations, but that's the first thing that goes. And it's just been a principle that, my father instilled me from way back when. And to answer your question, no, there's never been a time where we haven't given.
How much is enough? It doesn't have to be a number, but just what makes you happy?
I think you're right. There's, I don't know if there's a numerical value to that. For me, I think what is enough is, well, enough for me is contentment. And contentment is not measured by how much I have. It's measured by how little I lack. And right now...
Write that down, somebody. Yes, that was good.
But, well, thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
But the challenge here is right now we don't lack for anything. Of course, there are a lot of wants. But there's the black hole, and you start feeding that monster, and it's an endless, you know, little pursuit. But if we lack for nothing, we therefore have enough, and therein lies contentment. So
where is the next family holiday?
Franschhoek.
Okay, good.
We do spend money on family holidays, but this holiday in particular is going to be close by.
Dr. Michael Moll, he is the head of Hello Doctor. He is a guy who became terribly famous on television. And then
not as famous as Bruce Whitfield, though.
Well,
look at his Twitter following.
He got famous and well paid, Dr. Michael Moll, and he's managed to avoid having to stick his hand into people's chests for a while, at least.
Though he misses that.
But he's got that to fall back on if he must. Superman, Dr. Michael Moll.